and you may approach when you're ready. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, your honors, and Mr. Baikie. I'm Michelle Romero, and I represent the plaintiff appellant, Vicki Stamm. There are a few things in this case that are undisputed. The disputed property at issue is 8/10 of an acre. That 8/10 of an acre lies solely within the legal boundaries of plaintiff appellant Vicki Stamm's property and is mostly made up of a field drive that runs north-south across her property. Ms. Stamm, although the plaintiff in the underlying action, had no burden to prove adverse possession or lack thereof. To attempt to create an image for you, the parties are adjoining landowners whose farm ground lies west and east of a north-south field drive. The field drive was used by both parties to access their respective property and comprises the majority of the disputed property we're discussing. Other than about 10 feet of the ground further east of the field drive, the majority of the 8/10 of an acre is the field drive itself, and there used to be, before 2005, a north-south fence of convenience between the properties. It was never fully connected to the northern or southern ends of the property. There's also unfenced areas at the southern end and the wooded area at the north end that was also unfenced. This resulted in a partial fence that you could drive north on and remain on Ms. Stamm's land by turning left or go onto the defendant's land by turning right. The trial court of Buffalo County entered an order on May 21, 2014, granting the defendants adverse possession of this disputed property, and Ms. Stamm appealed that decision. The trial court appears to have wrongfully held Ms. Stamm to a burden of disproving adverse possession instead of applying the burden to the defendants who are attempting to claim this disputed property. To further complicate matters, the trial court incorrectly modified the defendant's claim and proposed its own original legal description, separate from any legal description provided through expert testimony of the parties and in complete contradiction of the prior findings and evidence. It is clear in reading the trial court's decision that she was simply trying to split the baby, where an adverse possession was granted in part to the defendants and quiet title was granted in part to plaintiff. And she provided a legal description of wholly original creation through the trial court. Also, in total opposition of the rules of discovery, the trial court denied plaintiff's motion in limine as to plaintiff's claim, thereby forcing Ms. Stamm to defend against more than 60 years of potential claims against her family's property instead of the 10-year period the defendants were actually claiming. Plaintiff has assigned 13 errors, all of which are important to this case. However, we will talk about the most egregious. The defendant's legal description is based upon transient landmarks, a piece of scrap metal, and a fence post, which testimony indicated Ryan Fisher placed after the filing of the action. That fence no longer exists, and the Nebraska Supreme Court previously determined that a claimant could not prove the boundaries of land that he claimed through adverse possession where the land had previously been bounded by a fence that had since been removed.
There were still remnants of the fence, were there not?
There were remnants of the fence at the northern end, Your Honor. The fence itself that was the original fence of convenience that stretched the majority of the north-south was not any longer in existence. There was a fence post at the northern end, a piece of scrap metal that plaintiff contends was not a remnant of the fence. And then there was some attached to a cottonwood tree to the north that headed east. It was more of a, it wasn't a fence as far as boundary fences go, and it did not meet the definition of a boundary fence.
The appellees provided a survey. The appellant offer any type of a survey?
We did, Your Honor, and we did a survey based upon the legal description that is contained in and is the legal description of Ms. Stamm's land. The appellees provided a survey in which their surveyor, Mitch Humphrey, admits that he has simply assumed a legal description. He went to the piece of scrap metal pointed out by the defendants, shot a line straight south. He went to the post that was that it was contained at the northern end and simply shot a line north. The testimony did not support that finding. At the northern end, at a cottonwood tree where it was connected, it did head due east and connect then again to the northern boundary fence at a post on the northern end, and the fence itself never connected to the south. And so he shoots a line for a fence that all parties, even the defendants, said never connected to that southern border and ended 30 feet prior to the southern border.
How How many years prior to 2005 had the fence been in that area?
Testimony indicates that the fence was built sometime between 1964 and 1967. Plaintiff contends it was in 67 when her brother was 16. He helped to construct the fence. The fence was never made of new materials. It was leftover materials and old barbed wire, barely stood on its own. There was testimony that in 1975, when a well was placed on the land, a defendant's witness stated that it was in such disrepair that it was barely standing by 75.
But didn't each side, didn't the landowners on each side treat the property and use the property up to that fence line as though it were a boundary between the properties?
No, the plaintiff maintained the property that was included on the east side of the fence. It was a field drive. The majority of that land is a field drive, and she and her predecessors continued to use that field drive. They sprayed must thistle on that field drive. And then they also, at some points, to contain cattle, because the fence itself was not a good enough fence to contain cattle, they would put an electric fence farther to the east, more on the property boundary, that then would contain these cattle. And that was put up and taken down each year by plaintiffs or their assigns.
There was some conflicting evidence, though, that the electric fence ever existed. Some witnesses said they never saw an electric fence.
There was conflicting evidence, and the trial court's order indicates that she believed that fence did, in fact, exist farther east of the fence of convenience that was located on the property.
And what is the evidence as to when, as you, I'll just use your phrase, the fence of convenience was removed completely?
The testimony of the defendants was that they themselves removed it, they believe, sometime between 2003 and 2005.
Which is obviously greater than the 10-year period required for adverse possession.
To 2000, starting in what year, I'm sorry?
Well, you had mentioned 64 or 67 with the erection of the fence,
right,
and to 2003 or 5.
Correct, and by that time in 2003 and to 5, you were able to drive over the fence, basically. It had fallen down, and it was in such disrepair that it was hard to call it a fence by that point. The Nebraska Supreme Court has not hesitated to reject adverse possession when the burden of the specific description, the specific legal description, is not met. So it's plaintiff's claim that the defendant should have never even gotten to an adverse possession claim because their legal description was lacking. They based it again on transient landmarks, and it's not an issue as to whether a surveyor could at some future date establish a boundary in legal description using these landmarks identified by their clients, rather that their adverse possession claim must fail because they did not produce such evidence at trial to prove this legal description. So it is plaintiff's contention that the district court added insult to injury when they created their wholly own legal description through the evidence that she obtained. It was not the defendant's. And when she did that, what she did was give the defendants even more land than they ever sought to claim. So in the northern portion, instead of all the testimony that indicated that the northern fence ended at a cottonwood tree and headed due east, she gave them that 62.2 feet of property at the north end of the fence. And again, the defendants understood that they never possessed that land, they never used that land, and that wasn't land that should have been part of any adverse possession. Adverse possession in and of itself is a prescriptive right that is treated with disfavor. They had several areas that they needed to prove that we don't believe they did, including actual, continuous, and exclusive. All testimony points to the sharing of that land, the sharing of the field drive. And shared possession never equals adverse possession. Permissive use, which again, if you look at the filial relationship rule, Ms. Stamm's heirs were really good friends with Harvey Fisher. They trusted each other. They had been friends for years. And in that, we should have had some presumption or instruction in weighing the evidence as this use being permissive. And that would be plaintiff's claim, is that the use was permissive. And permissive use never ripens into adverse possession or mutual acquiescence. And then we're missing the notorious and adverse, which requires a little hostile. At no point would the defendants ever claim that they had spoken to anyone about the land being theirs, and other than using it as a turn row and also as a field drive, they didn't do anything to let anyone know or put anyone on notice that they in fact believed that this land was theirs. So even though the plaintiff, again, it's kind of a backwards case, she's not the defendant trying to defend against adverse possession. She was a plaintiff who brought it as a quiet title. She had no burden to prove anything as to the disputed property, which the defendants agreed at all times was well within her legal boundaries of her property, and the trial court seemed to hold her to that burden. So we're asking you to reverse the findings of the trial court and remand for further proceedings.
One question. As I understand your argument, you're arguing both that the elements of adverse possession have not been met and that the legal description was insufficient.
Correct.
And so what's your best authority on the issue of the legal description, that it was error to use transient landmarks?
I believe our brief goes into the legal description, but just in the issue of there not being, you can't use the transient landmarks at a future date to try to recreate a fence. Once that fence under Matsky v. Hackbart is taken down, then you've removed your ability to claim adverse possession because of that fence. And the trial court seems to use from 97 to 2012, again, the other argument of you forced us to defend 60 years when we had sworn discovery that indicated that the defendants believed they had gained adverse possession by 1964.
Thank you. I believe I've taken you over.
Thank you very much.
Before you begin, Ms. Romero, have you seen this demonstrative exhibit?
It's an exhibit from the trial, Your Honor.
An exhibit, what number?
53.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Larry Beike representing the athletes. I put this up here because I think a visual always helps me to explain. If I get away from here, please let me know so you catch me. What I've done, this is Exhibit 53 from the trial. It's an aerial view to the left of this red line. And this red line is on Exhibit 53. And it was put on as a demonstrative aid to kind of show the actual legal description of the Stam property. Okay? I drew it in this exhibit. It may not be quite accurate. It may not be exactly like Exhibit 53, but it's just for demonstrative purposes here. The area in question extends approximately, you can see this gray line. The disputed area goes from the edge of the southern edge of this road up through here, to here, all the way into the woods and the river. Right here, it drops off, the property drops off considerably. Goes into a heavily wooded area and the river runs through here. This is only 8/10 of an acre. So why are we fighting? The reason is right here, this new area, right out here, is a well.
It was put in 1975. My clients, the Appleys, have used that well since 1975. They have always used it to irrigate the property. The Stams have never used that well. Now, a couple comments about appellant's argument. First of all, the statement that the majority of the disputed area is the field drive. You have to ask when. Okay? This well was put in 1975. The testimony was that before that well was put in, the crop rows went north-south. The fence was in there. The fishers farmed the land from the north to the south, and they also had cattle there.
The evidence of trial was not only was there a fence here, but there was also a fence along the southern border. So cars couldn't get in there. There was no field drive back then. It was only when the well was put in 1975 that field drive was established. Second, you can tell from the survey that was performed that field drive is not the majority of the disputed area. The disputed area runs from the south, it's about 13, 14 feet
up to about 40 feet to the north. So when you get to the north, there's quite a bit.
And crops were grown in there?
Sure.
Before and after the existence of the well?
You bet. But after the well was put in, there was a field drive to get back to the well. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they started planting the crops east-west, and they used that drive as a turnaround. Okay. Let me mention the legal description. Our legal description... first of all, our legal description is based on points of a survey. Exhibit 127 from the trial are photographs of the fence line that existed to the north of where the well is in the wooded area. Plaintiffs want to argue that it just remnants, but you can see clearly from these photographs there was a definite fence line. Our surveyor took those lines, extended them to the south in a straight line, and when he did so, he went over a remnant way down in the southern area. Now, that remnant created a lot of controversy, but the important point of that remnant is it was right along the fence line, and one of our witnesses, Mr. Harvey Fisher, testified that he remembers that was right along the fence line. Okay. So we're not making things up. And also a survey, all you need is two lines. If there were two lines up in the north, two pieces, you can run a line through there. We've got a lot more than just two pieces. We've got a whole fence up there. Although the fence was taken down in the south, it always remained in the north.
And any time did the appellant ever demand that the well be removed or moved to a different part of the area?
No such evidence. No. And I will say, logically, does it make any sense that someone would, if they didn't think that was their property, that they would go to the expense of drilling a well in there, and the other party would allow them to drill a well in there? It just doesn't make any sense. There was an argument by the appellant that the fence never ran all the way to the south. That's not accurate. Before the well was put in, the fence ran all the way to the south. The testimony was that after 1975, actually the testimony was from about 1980 on, Ryan Fisher testified, that at that time, after the well was put in, the fence stopped about 20, 30 feet from the edge of the road. Okay. However, it's our position that long before then, we established the adverse possession claim. So the trial court's 30 feet really is inaccurate describing where that line went. It did not end 30 feet from the road until 1980.
Is the southern 30 feet, my understanding is that southern 30 feet then runs to the road, is that correct?
That's right.
All right, is that used for ingress and egress to get to either side of the property there?
Now?
Now.
Yes. Well, it depends. The 30 feet that the trial court gave, let me put this up.
This is Exhibit 101. So the southern 30 feet does it include all of the road or just part of the road?
Part of the road.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The legal description, the argument about a transient landmark, I think the Shellhorn case that the Supreme Court recently decided in 2014, which I cited in my brief, speaks to that. In that case, the fence was removed. The fence was still determined to be the boundary line. think I'm about finished, unless there are questions you have.
So we have no further questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the appellant is out of time. Thank you both, counsel. We appreciate you being here today. You are excused, and this case is submitted.
Thank you.
You may.
You may. Thank you.
Thank you for that assistance. Next case this morning is DeLate versus